I just accidentally pushed the button. It's the news, according to, I guess it's still me. Good Monday afternoon. Eastern Standard Time is 1:17 actually, p.m. Eastern Standard Time for the time being. And it's 2025, Monday, still February. It's getting very close to being March, which leads right into April. And that's about halfway through half the year. And that's about that. Well, that just means we're basically, the year's about over with. It's just about done. We're just about 2026. Might as well start getting prepared for that. Might as well cross everything off your list of things you were going to get done this year and just call it next year. Say, just, I'll get to that next year. Because you don't have time anymore this year. It's time's running out. It's just, year's about over anyway. Just scratch all that stuff off. Transfer it over to the 2026 list of things to do. Well, boy, I was kept on talking while I was, this is such good tea, by the way. I have homemade peach tea with fresh frozen peaches. These peaches were bought fresh locally here, locally ripened on the vine, so to speak, on the tree. And they were frozen, flash frozen. I call it flash frozen. I don't know that they were just frozen. Sliced up and frozen. The last ones I have left. So hopefully, when I go to make my next batch of tea, I will be able to find some fresh peaches by the time that time comes around. I have a few things I didn't get to last week. I'm going to try to get to today. There's just a lot of news going on, a lot of interesting things happening. But a couple of things I want to read. One of the things was, I hope it's still on the Facebook page. I think I might have taken a picture of it. I'm not sure. The left continues, their head continues to explode or implode. I'm not sure what it's doing. I would assume it's imploding because of their brains are just, you know, draining out of their body. It just amazes me, I guess. There's no logic to anything that they're saying. If you break it down and look at it, there's no logic whatsoever. It's just hysteria. I thought we were going to have a peaceful moment, but I tried to wear the dogs out, but apparently not. Needless to say. Anyway, now I've got a cat in my lap. This cat just jumped up in my lap. This is the nice cat, the sweet little kitten that doesn't try to get behind the computer and chew my wires off. I have. There was a few things I wanted to talk about last week, and of course, one of the things I wanted to talk about was I was talking about my tea here, actually. In case you hear the big thunderous dropping of the Kong ball upstairs, that's to keep the dog occupied, which will last about 2 minutes. It's even though it's frozen, I put a bunch of frozen food in there. You fill the thing up and you just put it in the freezer. I got like four or five of these, and some are larger than others, but this is one of the smaller ones. He'll probably take about 5 minutes. He'll have it all eaten out of there because he's figured out that if he throws it up in the air, drops it on the ground, the stuff kind of starts falling out of it. He's clever like that. If he had an opposable thumb, he'd probably go to the drawer and just get a spoon and start dishing it out. They have, there's a few things I didn't talk about last week. One of the things I did mention, I just mentioned at one of the shows, and I didn't say anything about this Adam Schiff thing when he came out and was talking about. Now, of course, Dan Bongino, I'm not sure how much longer I'm going to be doing my show here because Dan Bongino, I just heard yesterday, has accepted the position as deputy FBI director, which means he'll be leaving his show that he has on. He kind of took Rush Limbaugh's place at 12 o'clock. Noon Eastern Standard Time every day from noon to 3. I think Dan Bongino has been doing that time slot on the networks that be out there, the syndicated programming thing that happens. And I'm assuming I'm up next for that slot. I don't know. so I'll probably have to do that. I'm sure they'll be calling me here any minute now. I got the phone right here. I'm waiting to hit the button. As soon as they call, I'll be answering the phone. I'm going to have to stop the podcast real quick. I maybe I'll just put you guys on the phone call so that way you can hear who's taking Dan Bongino's place. That way you can be the first to hear about it. It'll be, boy, that's good tea. Wow. It'll be the news, according to me. Of course, at that point, then you'll start putting up with advertisers and those kinds of things, because the content will actually go down. See, I give you an hour of, sometimes 30 minutes of information. Sometimes it's even more than you get in a three-hour show. That wasn't the case with Rush Limbaugh. I would say Rush Limbaugh probably had more content in 20 minutes than I do in 10 hours. But needless to say, most of these radio shows and whatever they do, especially like Sean Hannity and people like that, they'll have a 10-minute bumper at the beginning of their show, and they have 5 minutes of monologue, and then they go to a commercial. And he'll come back and he'll talk about his monologue and talk about a few things, and then he goes to commercial again. And, of course, then you have the local news, bottom of the hour, local news, which is usually smaller. And they go into some more advertising, and then you got, local advertising as well as, national advertising on the show. And you also have your – and then he goes back to talk about 5 minutes. And then he calls somebody, and then he proceeds to tell them everything that he already said in his monologue, and then he asks for their response, and of course he interrupts them 5 times, and then it goes to another commercial, and then you go to the top of the hour where there's another bumper, and of course local news, national news, and whatever advertisements that they have on for the show itself, plus local advertising. So it's just one thing after another. In the first hour of the show, you usually get about 10 minutes of content, something like that. So a 3 hour show, 30 minutes of content. That's about right. And with my 1 hour show, you get a 1 hour show. We're not talking about content quality here. We're just talking about content. Okay. We're just talking about the sheer mass of quantity here. We're not talking about the quality of the content. We'll discuss that on another time, maybe in a couple of years after I do the Dan Bongino show. So we have, take his place. I'm not going to be Dan Bongino. I'm going to be me. I'm just going to be me. But any minute now, the call will be coming in. Just expecting. So just in case I, stop saying what I'm saying, you can figure it out. But this, in the meantime, I'm going to be drinking my sweet tea. Correct. I stand corrected. It's still sweet peach tea. Freshly brewed, freshly peaches, freshly unfrozen, fresh peaches. Anyway, so a couple of things I want to talk about. One of the things was Adam Schiff. Now, he's terrified now, even especially now with Dan Bongino being the deputy director. You've got Kash Patel, who's over the FBI. You've got Dan Bongino over the deputy director of the FBI. Folks, this is the only way you can save this institution, in my opinion. There's no other way to save the FBI besides doing what they're doing right now. So, now Dan Bongino does not have the administrative skills with government that some people do. However, he's also not a bureaucrat, and he has run some businesses. Of course, they say, it's just a podcaster now is going to be the head deputy. No, he's not just a podcaster. He was a major player, extremely high-ranking Secret Service agent, lest we forget that. So we should not forget that. The same thing with Pete Hegseth. Kash Patel was no slouch. And the ridiculous hysteria on the left. What's this? It's not okay to be judged because of your dog's reactivity. Yeah, so I felt that this morning. That's for sure. Took the dogs to I took the dogs to the what do you call it? The groomer this morning. It's the little one's first bath. And, here we go. Yeah, she's already posted some things here. We'll check all this out. it had his first bath today. And of course, the other one, the small one, the Australian Shepherd, he has a tendency to go nuts when he sees me anyway. After he hasn't seen me for 5 minutes, he'll just freaks out. But I took him in. He was a little bit shaken. Not Uzi, not the other one. The Australian Shepherd was shaking a little bit because he's not too so sure about some things like that. So it was a little bit of anxiety. Anyway, they both went in just fine. Actually, they jumped out of the car. So went back there to open the car, the trunk on the I've got a station wagon, so it's a Volvo. But went back to open the station wagon gate there thing on the back. And as I was opening it, of course, I got distracted because there was somehow, I don't know what was going on completely there. And as I was opening the door, I went to grab one. Of course, then the other one jumped out. And the other one, the Aussie is usually pretty good about staying in the car. He jumped right out because he likes the place. He likes being there. He usually goes to daycare there. So he was all excited. He jumps out of the car. Wasn't what I was expecting. I was expecting the other one to jump out of the car. Well, then as I was trying to get him, which I wasn't too concerned because he usually comes to me really well. The other one, you know, the new puppy doesn't, but he gets a little distracted. He's got a very high prey drive, very high food drive. He's a very playful thing. He's just very easily distracted. So couldn't get his leash on him before he jumped out as well. And of course, as he was jumping out, let's just say they both got out of the car without any leashes on them. And of course, he's pretty good about it. If I start animating myself and going in a particular direction, he'll follow me. So I just started heading for the door saying, hey, first I tried to get him to jump back in the car, and that wasn't, they were already kind of away from the car a little bit over towards the building. And I'll just run over to the building here and just open the door and see if they come in. And they couldn't really go anywhere. There was a fence in the building, and it wasn't like they were going to go too far. And opened up the door, and they both ran right in, which is perfect. The problem was getting back out. They just kind of opened the door and let the dogs come into the little area there where you pay your bill and stuff. And they just threw him in there and then walked away. And then she put her headphones on. And of course, the one dog didn't have his collar on, the small one. And they put these little bandanas around their neck and a little thing to make them look like they're just all dressed up, you know, a little bandana. Well, that gets in the way of trying to get the leash on the collar. So the one dog, I finally got to where now they're jumping up and down. He's trying to jump up on top of me, and I can't. So I finally get his leash on. And he's a big boy, 82 pounds of extremely tight. He's got a lot of muscle, should put it that way, because when we walk him with 10 pounds of a 10-pound backpack. So he tends to build up muscle pretty quickly. He gets a lot of exercise. He's kind of an athlete, which is good for sleeping time, but it's not good for just like regular time when you're trying to wear him out. It just takes a lot of energy. Anyway, so we have he gets out there. He's trying to jump around. He's practically knocking me down. There's the other one. Of course, the other one's just whining and crying because he's so excited to see me. He's jumping all over as well. They're jumping all over each other and jumping over me. Trying a hard time standing up. Finally get the leash on him. I finally get I get him under control. And I realize the other one doesn't have his collar on. So I can't even get his leash on him because he didn't have a collar. So I asked her where the collar was. Of course, she had her headphones on, so I had to, kind of make some noises and wave at her. She was doing with the dog. So then she finally gave me her collar and got everything ready to go. Got everything hooked up. Got in the car. They jumped right in. Everything was great. But it's just that's kind of exciting moments that I have with the dogs. But I digress. We have a few things I want to talk about. This person who is so concerned about the environment has once again just returned from Hawaii. I think they go to Hawaii about every 2 months, it seems like. There's just an hour ago they're leaving Hawaii today. I guess they must carbon offset or something because they certainly do a whole lot of flying around that burns holes in the sky and all the things that they do. Here we go. This is thoughts on Ukraine. This is something I just posted. What's this? This is conspiracists are about to get a dose of reality. Trying to help people. Here it is. This is the one. Now this is a repost from Rowdy Eric Roderick. trying to help people understand what's going on right now is like going back into a burning building to pull someone out, only to have them keep punching you in the face and demand evidence that the building is on fire, even after they admit they can see the flames. Okay. Who, by chance, is punching somebody in the face and admitting that they can see the flames, but they're still punching you in the face and not letting you rescue them from the building? Great little story here. Great little analogy. Can you kind of explain to me some of these details here, how this works? Trying to help people understand what's going on right now. Now, there was another one that was written just recently as well, of course, from Hawaii, because, you know, that's where they are. So it came from Hawaii. There's just pictures of Hawaii now all over the place. That's all I'm seeing here. Okay, whatever. Just more and more drivel in between drivel. I don't see. Where is it at here? Okay, some of the stuff has been posted. Here's Chris Christie. I see a post here that she posted from Chris Christie. Chris Christie was recently asked about this whole thing about people being fired, and he said it's not legal. It's not because Chris Christie is known as a anti-Trumper now. So because he's of course the star child of, and anytime they have something bad they want to say about Donald Trump, they just bring some of these Republicans on who are never Trumpers. And of course he decides that they're going to interview him about this whole thing about Trump firing these workers. We're going to talk about that a little bit. And I want to get into a couple other things first. One of the things about this firing thing is ridiculous. But while I'm at it, I'm just going to talk about it. So there's been a lot of lawsuits now. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a financial counselor. But I listen to a lot of these guys on YouTube. There's a really good channel, Robert Gavea, very good lawyer. He's a defense attorney for a long time, started a practice. Then he started during this whole election thing and everything that was happening with all the legal suits against Trump. He came out. He ended up becoming so popular and so successful that he actually left his practice and went into just doing his podcast show now. He actually has been interviewed on some larger platform. I think he's been on Fox. I think he's been on a couple of different shows. And he's gained a lot of popularity. Very good at reading court cases. He animates them very well. It's very interesting to listen to how the court cases go. And he explains things very well. He's very, very good at explaining legal jargon and terms, that kind of thing. So he's a great guy. He ended up talking about this whole thing with what's happening with these cases. And what ended up happening was initially they said something about finding out that I'm going to write some things down because a lot of things are going through my head right now. I don't want to forget about them. The recension, I'm going to talk about that because it's important. This court case, they were saying that they were wrongfully terminated. This whole thing, they're basically suing the American people because they're suing the government. They're saying that they were wrongfully terminated. They've been harmed in some way in the whole process. Now, you can't, there's certain things you can and can't do in a suit like this, filing a suit like this, labor relations type thing. In their contract, it says that the contract can be terminated at any time. So they lost this on its face. Now, they were trying to go after something, and the defense was trying to go one direction. And, of course, they were, because they're the plaintiff in this case. So as the lawyer was pursuing this particular avenue, another judge looked at it and said, no, and this, I think it was a judge that was actually a Biden judge, and looked at it and said, no, you have no case. It's on its face. You have no case here. Because the only thing that they've been damaged on is for money, is their finances. finances. I don't know. How, you know. So the basis of their suit is basically they have no recourse on this because they just don't. The offer was made for them to resign, and they would get a severance package. If they didn't resign, they faced the possibility of just getting fired, flat out fired, with no severance. Many of these people were what they call probationary employees, which at that point, when any job you go into that has a union, typically, what you'll find is that the union. There's a probationary period. Sometimes it's 6 months. Sometimes it's a year. So you're on probation, and the union will not. They can't protect your job. You can be fired for any reason during that time, with the exception of labor relations issues. But you can be fired for any reason. As that progresses, once you get off probation, and they can't fire you for just anything, the union can stick up for you. Now, however, your job can be terminated. Now. One of the things that they've found here is the part of the problem with this whole thing. The reason the union's going after the government is because they're losing union due revenue, which is so far the number of people have been cut just in the USAID thing, and I think one other agency. They've lost about $15 million in revenue from union dues. That's really what this is all about. Now, there was also... In the process of all this, there was also some money found recently. Lee Zeldin found a huge amount of money, $20 billion, that the Biden administration siphoned off into a couple of environmental agencies for the purpose of – they were supposed to go to green technology, green boosting stuff. It was supposed to be given to green, you know, all these green agencies that they didn't get, they didn't have enough applications to fill out, didn't have enough money to get out there. So they just, and of course, all these NGOs, all these different kinds of agencies like this, all these non-government agencies or the organizations that they fund, they create around the process of all this money flowing, ends up having a percentage of it coming back to people's campaigns, either through PAC groups or something. I've been a part of, one union that I've been a part of a couple different times in my life, and that union donates money to political candidates, which I think should be illegal, not just flat out illegal. That shouldn't happen. Shouldn't be happening. Because now you're beholden to that. Now that candidate is, you know, beholden to what, you know, it's just, that's not, I pay the union to represent me with my, to collectively bargain with my employer, not to get politically involved in what's going on, you know. So that's what happens with these people, and of course, they're taking your money and doing that, and funneling it off like that. So what ends up happening, much like that same thing on the same scale, is that the government will provide funding for a particular organization that happens to be in line with what they're politically about, and that somehow that money somehow goes back to a political candidate or a PAC group. They can give money to a PAC group, which is, you know, disconnected supposedly from the campaign, the official campaign of that person. It's just shady, rotten crap. Now, in the process of all this, of course, now Chris Christie gets asked this question, well, is this even legal? Can they even do this? And he says no. Of course, he was a prosecutor. He doesn't know what he's doing. He absolutely doesn't know. I know better, and I'm not a prosecutor, and I'm not even a lawyer, and I know more because it was explained very clearly by Robert Gavea what the terms of this thing hold. And, of course, when the judge ended up looking at it, he said he ruled on it and said, well, this is what the contract says. You can't do anything about this. It's black and white. It's in the contract. Contract can be terminated at any time for any reason, regardless of the union. Doesn't matter. Your job can be eliminated. Now, what the problem here is they're not just being fired. Their job is being eliminated. That's the key point here. Now, having saved all this money, there's this talk of having some kind of a rebate from DOGE, and it could be as much as $5,000, maybe more. I assume that's per taxpayer. That's a huge chunk. And my guess is they here's the bad thing about this. And they'll probably try to pull this. There's talk about eliminating the IRS altogether. This administration is actually kicking that idea around. We can eliminate the IRS. So it's very possible. It can be done. The IRS hasn't been around forever. You'll pay more for your products when you buy them, but you will not have money taken out of your check when you receive it from your employer, that's a huge deal, folks, because now you have the power to pay the taxes when you want to, or to buy your products and goods things that we make here in the United States, we're productive enough here in the U.S. that you won't. There's just a whole lot of efficiency things going on here. Of course, at the same time, my friends here on the left would say that the house is on fire and it's burning down. This person lives in California, the person I'm talking about. I'm picking on this one person because it's a good example of many, many people across the spectrum. But this person's talking about a house on fire. California was literally on fire not too long ago. Probably billions of dollars worth of damage done in fires that should have been prevented, or could have been stopped at least, with better management from their wonderful governor and the mayor of L.A. And you turn around and start talking about a house on fire, and you said nothing about that. There's not a whisper on this person's page about the fires that were burning, and other than, oh, this is so tragic, it's so terrible. It's all because of global warming. My word. So they go through this kind of stuff. Now you've got Chris Christie, who says, oh, this is absolutely illegal. And you could tell by the hesitation when he, and I don't have the actual video of him saying this. I had it earlier today and I was driving in the car. I couldn't really get it captured very well, but absolutely illegal. Oh, absolutely illegal. But it's, there you go. Crazy craziness. Wow, this was 6 years ago. There's some time. Okay, I gotta stop doing this. So I want to talk a little bit about. Oh, here's where's Adam Schiff. There he is. Okay, I want to talk a little bit about this. Oh my word. So we're gonna get into this because it's an analysis of vocal stuff. Now, I have noticed there's somebody who did a really deep analysis of vocal quality on YouTube and some other social media sites where what they're doing to right-wing or conservative media, content creators, that kind of thing. What they're doing with this stuff is... And I've already noticed it, but I didn't really think that much of it. I thought it was the quality of the actual individual, like Fox News or whoever it was, or any kind of conservative host, even BCP and all these other people. I just thought it was their quality of their stuff. Come to find out, this is actually Google doing this to them. There's somebody who's done an analysis on this stuff and actually looked at all these people and determined that they actually create a frequency. The only way I know to explain this is that they do a frequency chopping. It's like a compression. It's a certain kind of compression. And what they do is compression is pretty normal in radio or any kind of broadcast network. I have a slight very, very small amount of compression on my podcast. But I also have something called normalization. After when I record it, I put it through a processor and it normalizes the sound. So it varies the compression, varies the level of the volume throughout the whole process. That way you get just the vocal quality. It's a much more standardized vocal quality. Or if I'm playing an audio recording, it tends to come across better. So it's called normalization. Well, what they've been doing here with some of the conservative broadcasters and content creators is that they go through this process of putting frequency delay and I would call it a gate, a frequency gate on the compression itself. It's kind of complicated. It's like, you know, I could teach a class on it probably, but it's the, if I had a whiteboard here, I could show you the, like the waves of the frequency waves, that kind of thing, and how they're doing this. But it's, what it does is it actually causes nausea in people if you listen to it too long. Now, my show, if you just listen to me, if you were here standing here in person with me and I was just talking to you, you'd probably get nauseous in about 5 minutes. But that's a whole other thing. That's just, that has to do with more about just having to listen to me. But the problem with this is the content itself, and this happens even during the commercials that they play on their, if they have a live broadcast, so you know, like Fox News has live, you know, CNN has live stuff happening all the time. Even during those, the way they process it through the system that it goes through with YouTube or Twitter, I don't think Twitter does this actually. I think it was TikTok and something else, Facebook. And what they do is they process it so that it actually gives you this annoying kind of sound that actually repulses you after a while, and you kind of just get sick and tired of hearing it. You can only listen to it for so long, you actually get sick of it. It just has an effect on you. Everybody's known that frequency stuff like this has been available for a long time. Law enforcement uses this actually to repel crowds. There are some schools in our nation now that play certain high frequency in the hallway, which causes the kids can hear the frequency, but the teachers can't, because at a certain age, you lose certain receptors. At about 16, 17 years old, you start losing these receptors. Maybe it's in the 20s, early 20s. Start losing these receptors in your ear that pick up a certain high frequency, and as you get older, you lose those, and so it doesn't bother the teachers, but it does bother the students, and they have a tendency to not linger in the halls very long because they don't know why, but they get annoyed about being in the hall. This is actually happening in some places. Same thing with law enforcement; they can play these. It's actually low frequency waves that make people throw up right away. It's just you point the speaker in the direction of the crowd, and you can actually cause people to throw up because of the frequencies that their body gets hit with. Pretty amazing stuff. So that's what's happening here with some of the transmissions. Now, we're going to talk a little bit about Adam Schiff and his this whole thing with him, because he's actually – this is interesting. Listen, now it's cold outside. He's doing this. This was probably, I don't know how long ago this has been. I'm going to actually refresh the page, and it'll tell me how long ago it's been. It was February 20th. So this was this 4 days ago? This was out in Washington. And I'm pretty sure they were experiencing a fairly cold, it was a very cold day there. It wasn't the coldest day they've had in the last couple of weeks, but it was very cold. So February 20th, 2025, they were going out and talking about this. I think this is right after Kash Patel had gotten, it was either right after or right before, but this is right before the vote. We'll probably find out more about it. This is about 4 minutes long, so we'll talk about it as he's going through it, but I'll just kind of diagnose as things are happening here what's going on. But he's going to step up here to the podium and he's going to talk. There's a guy, who's this other guy, Rosenthal, whatever the guy's name is, but back behind him there.
Thank you, Senator Padilla. More than 30 years ago, I served as an assistant U.S. attorney in Los Angeles for almost 6 years. There wasn't a finer law enforcement agency that I worked for.
Let's listen to that again. What was this? He was
assistant U.S. attorney. More than 30 years ago, I served in as a...
30 years ago, he served as an assistant district attorney for 6 years. 30 years ago. That's how long he's been in politics now. 30 years ago. I could tell you what I was doing 30 years ago, and I could tell you that even if I was an expert at it at the time, I would have I don't even remember what I was doing 30 years ago, quite frankly. I was a pilot. I know that. But I don't know what my regular job was. I was a flight instructor actually at that time, about 30 years ago. Had a small business. I am not a business expert. I'm not an aviation expert. A lot of things change in 30 years, first of all. And secondly, I doubt that he remembers anything about it. Let's see what he has to say here. He's continuing to say.
Assistant U.S. Attorney in Los Angeles. For almost 6 years.
There wasn't
a finer law enforcement agency that I worked for at that time, nor have I witnessed in the 30 years since than the FBI.
I'm pretty sure. Boy, I wish I had the resources to say, hey, Mr. Resource Manager over there, go back and get me all the things that Adam Schiff said about James Comey when he came out and talked about Hillary Clinton. Remember, the left's heads were coming off. Maxine Waters, all these people came out of the woodwork saying how James Comey has lost all credibility because he came out and said some things that were very damning of Hillary Clinton. No doubt about it. Announced that the investigation was opening up again and all this stuff. And it was because the attorney general, had recused herself. And so he stepped forward to be the guy who was going to step in. I'm stepping on the scene now. So that's because James Comey just thinks he's the ethical one who has all the, because his poop doesn't stink. And so he's here. But I'm sure that during that time, I'm sure Adam Schiff, because he always is looking for a reason to get in the limelight. So I'm sure he was probably stepping forward. I'm sure there's probably a video of him saying something about James Comey and how the FBI has lost all credibility. And yet here he is saying that the FBI is the greatest organization ever in the face of the planet. We all know better than that. It's one of the reasons Trump won is because what was going on with the FBI.
Inside that building right now, there is a purge going on. Inside that building, FBI agents who have dedicated their careers to protecting the public are being purged from their offices.
And that's what we voted for. Now, I want you to listen to his voice very carefully here. They're being purged from their offices. Right now, that building behind me, there are people being purged from their offices who've dedicated themselves to protecting us. Are we going to forget? Are we going to forget, Mr. Schiff, that there were some agents of the FBI, high-level managers, directors, who were fired or forced to resign because of an insurance policy that they had to get Trump if he happened to win the election? There's no chance of him winning, but if he does, we got an insurance policy. That turned out to be a hoax. There were FBI agents in that building behind you who were lying on FISA court documents. Absolute lies. Knowingly lying to the court to get the FISA court document they needed for probable cause. To do an investigation on a presidential candidate and then sitting president after the fact. Duly elected, I might add. And you're telling me that this is the greatest organization on the planet, no other law enforcement agency, and these people who've sworn to protect us. To act like the FBI is without any kind of reproach is to simply say that you're putting your head in the sand. And the people who are being purged are the people who were protecting you, sir. And that's what he's afraid of. Now, I want you to listen to the quality of his voice here. He's one of the things that's happening is he's cold, and I don't want that to distract you from what is actually going on. But it's the tone of his voice. He has raised his voice almost to a point of whining. It's not a definitive speech he's giving here. But when someone has something to say and they land on the words that they're supposed to land on, and it's a definitive absolute. I'm doing it right now. I'm landing on a word. When I make a statement, I land on a word and I'm done. Just like that. Done.
I'm not doing this and saying all these things and coming up and doing this and have this uncertainty in my voice and I can hardly pronounce my words. Now, some of the pronunciation, his face is cold. Okay, so that's I'll give him that. There's that going on. There's absolutely I can tell that. I'll be honest about that. I can hear that. That's a part of this, what the equation here. And it makes it a little bit more difficult to look past that because it does make him sound weak. That's just the nature of what cold does to your not only your face, but your vocal cords as well. And your ability to think because you're being distracted by the cold. It's painful out there. But let's continue to listen to this guy and analyze how he's talking here. But because
thousands of FBI agents.
There is fear in his voice. I want you to see if you can hear this. There's fear in his voice. There is an unsettled anxiety that is coming through what he's saying. Now, if I were being directed by, when I do voiceovers, if I'm being directed by a director that as I'm speaking and reading a script, if they told me I want you to be unsure of yourself, talk like you've got some kind of anxiety about this disease you have or whatever it is that you've got and that you're concerned about. And then when you get the resolve, when you get the answer, then your whole tone is going to change. I was suffering from headaches. I couldn't believe how bad it was. I didn't think it was ever going to end. But then Gerizimov came through with the greatest thing in the world. And now I have no more headaches, except for my little 10-month-old puppy that likes to bark in the middle of the night. Other than that, I don't know. I mean, that's the kind of thing. I over-exaggerated some of that, but this is what's coming through here. Well, I hear this. If I was directing this guy to be, what would I tell him to make himself sound like that? I would say, try to sound anxious, afraid, and unsure of yourself. That's what I would tell him. And so here he is.
Sent questionnaires asking them about their work on the January 6th investigations.
Mm-hmm.
And let's just take a moment to understand what that's all about. On January 6th, a violent mob attacked the Capitol.
On January 6th, a violent mob attacked the Capitol. I would say an angry demonstration, protest that got out of control. An angry mob attacked the Capitol.
Beat police officers, bear sprayed them, gouged them in the service of an even bigger...
Gouged them. Okay. Bear sprayed them, gouged them. Okay. They were being sprayed by tear gas, by the way. A lot of these people that reacted were actually just fighting back because they couldn't, go anywhere. You were stuck in this crowd of people and all of a sudden you start getting sprayed with tear gas and all kinds of other things happening. So on one hand, this is happening. At the same time, they're opening up the doors and letting people in. And that's... A lot of these January 6th, and here's the problem. The FBI had people in the crowd who were antagonizing things. We don't know who all they were. We don't know how many there were. They haven't been honest with all that stuff. I bet we'll find out now. There were assets in the crowd. The FBI was not honest about it. They wouldn't tell anybody, the American people, when they were being asked the questions about this kind of stuff. And here we are. This knucklehead is up there trying to defend them for the nefarious things that were going on within the... All to get Trump. Get Trump. Gotta get Trump.
Crime, which was stopping the peaceful transfer of power. Not only were these agents who are being purged assigned those cases and did their assignments, but they did so in a righteous prosecution against those involved in attacking police and attacking... the peaceful transfer of power.
This was anything but a righteous prosecution, but we'll move on.
But they're being purged.
Good.
And the man that they would have head the agency, the man that Donald Trump would have head this agency, is someone who made common cause with those violent attackers.
Okay, I've heard enough of this guy. I can't stand it anymore. This is the guy who told us for how long? How many years did this guy go on telling us that there was plenty of evidence in plain sight that Donald Trump
colluded with Russia to win the election. They hacked the election. The Russians influenced our election. And Donald Trump was involved in it. And the Mueller report comes out, and none of that was true. None of it. And they're saying it's, now they're coming out saying it's true again. They're still coming out and saying, oh, well, Donald Trump colluded with Russia to win in 2016. And he probably colluded with them this time. They're saying it again, folks. They're saying this is 2.0. This is Russia collusion 2.0. And it's obvious now because he's talking to Putin about getting the war stopped. Yeah, that's what it takes. You have to talk to the guy to get the war stopped. You're not just going to stop the war by just winning by throwing money and bodies and Ukrainian people and everything else into this until it becomes World War III. That's just... I'm not a military strategist tonight, But I do know what war looks like, and I know that millions of people dying is not exactly... We can't just sit back and watch all that happen like that. It's frankly, sorry. I'm not gonna take it. So, by the way, that was just a message coming through. I think it was something. Anyway, so there's that. Now, I also want to talk about this whole thing of the money that they're finding in these. Oh, by the way, Joy Reid, her show has been eliminated. She's the most racist person on MSNBC that I'm aware of. There are others that are racist, don't get me wrong. She was the most racist. She would talk about white people as if they were the trash of the earth, that they were the problem of the entire world. Basically, it was the white people, especially white men, white tears, all kinds of... The most racist person I know of. And I don't know why she was eliminated for sure. I have a feeling it has something to do with that. But she was terrible. Absolutely terrible. And I don't like to see anybody canceled. But at the same time, I'm glad they finally recognized that, hey, this lady has got to go. She just... she can start her own little thing and say whatever she wants to. But that's... Yeah. But she told us, she's one of the people who told us that Donald Trump was coming for her. Maybe she's going to come out and say, well, I think MSNBC was just scared that they were going to lose their license if they didn't get rid of me because I was speaking out against truth to power, whatever. So yeah, they're coming after the FBI. They're coming after some people there because there's been a lot of corruption there. They're not above reproach. And you're better off just flushing them all out, starting over again. Let's just start over with this whole thing and see what we really, really need to have. That's kind of what you do sometimes in business. You just cut it back to the bare minimum of operational expediency. And then you just, let's build it up now with what we actually need instead of having all this stuff that's, because they're finding out a whole lot more than we ever realized. Now, of course, now in the process of this, they're talking about giving everybody back a rebate. Now, I'm all for that. Don't get me wrong. I think it needs to be graduated. Depending on what you paid in taxes, it should be based on a percentage of what you paid in taxes. That's what I think. But that's my opinion about it because we have a graduated tax system. If you make $30,000 a year, you pay one particular tax rate. You only pay a certain percentage of your income. Say it's 7%. I don't know what it is anymore. Say 7% at 30. If you make $30,000 a year, you pay 7% of your income goes to taxes. If you make $200,000 a year, you pay 12% or whatever it is. And then if you make more than $400,000 a year, you pay with the maximum amount, which is like, what is it, 40% or whatever it is, 37%, I think it is, 37%, but something like that of your income. Not 6%, not the same as everybody else, but you pay more. So the harder you work, the more you make, the more they take a higher percentage because you don't need all that. You didn't build that. You didn't earn that. Tell me whatever. Everybody thinks that's all great. Tax the rich until they're rich, and they don't like that too much. Bernie Sanders is a prime example of that. Those millionaires and billionaires, yeah, tax those millionaires and billionaires. He became a millionaire. Well, everybody has a summer cottage. Everybody has a summer camp up in upstate New York. Everybody's got a summer camp. Well, everybody's got three houses. Well, everybody's a millionaire. I made my millions by selling a book about socialism. So he made that $1 million. He became a millionaire because he sold books. So he deserves it. So now we just go after billionaires. It was millionaires and billionaires. Now it's just billionaires. Because all of a sudden he's made his $1 million. He's a millionaire now. So he has to just go after the billionaires. And when he becomes a billionaire, zillionaires, trillionaires. Yeah, that's what it is. But he deserves it. He deserves a lot of money. Yeah. This is a guy who spent his honeymoon in communist Russia, the Soviet Union at the time. So we have, all this is going on. They want to give us this check of $5,000. It's like a rebate check kind of thing for coming back because of the money they saved here with Doge. Rand Paul came out today and made a very good statement about this whole thing. So that's great. You know, they're finding all this stuff and they've paused all the spending. That's great. But they can't just do it through impoundment. Now, impoundment is when the executive branch basically says, no, we're not spending money on this. It goes against the values. They can what they call impounding the money. It goes back to the Treasury. But the spending continues. The problem is it's still in place because Congress didn't change anything. And this is the key. And I don't know if anybody remembers this or not. About 2 weeks ago, I talked about this on a show. I think it was 2 weeks ago. Might have been 3 weeks ago. When Doge was doing all these cuts and they started in with all this stuff and they started finding all this stuff. It wasn't 3 weeks ago. It might have been 2 weeks ago. Whenever it was. And I happened to mention this just briefly, saying how this has to go through Congress to get the money to stop going because it's still in place. The spending is still there. Now, keep in mind, Democrats and Republicans alike have talked about cutting spending. Oh, we've cut $1.2 billion from the federal budget or whatever they do. It's like they're so deceptive about that because what they've cut is from future spending. In other words, growth. In a $4 trillion budget, they cut $1.2 billion out of it. We cut $1.2 billion out of the budget. We've reduced spending by $1.2 billion. Oh, so instead of spending $2 trillion, now you only spend, I'll do the math on that, one point, whatever that becomes. But I was told there'd be no math in podcasting. But they do this all the time. It's always been based on, we're going to grow it this much. But now we're only going to grow it this much. Look at the money we cut, and yet the spending keeps increasing. So what Rand Paul was mentioning here was impoundment is great, stopping it is great, but after the 90-day pause or whatever happens, it's going to continue to go on spending. The money's still there. It's still appropriated. What needs to happen is it needs to come back to Congress. While we have control of the Congress, it needs to be rescinded. The bills putting this stuff into place need to be rescinded. That makes it permanent until they put it back through to pass it again to do more spending. And that's good luck with that. At that point, they can reduce taxes. In fact, at that point, you know, if the government were run efficiently and all we had was tariffs and those kinds of things, there's other ways. We have the internal tax. Internal Revenue Service. What they're talking about is having an External Revenue Service. I could go into this whole tax thing all day long. Folks, I've gone round and round with the IRS many, many times. I understand exactly what's going on here with this tax thing. I'm no tax expert. I'm not an accountant. I'm not a financial counselor, like I said. But I've been in the throes of this. I know what's going on with the laws. I know what's going on. I know what kind of crap they're pulling here. And they're getting away with it. They're putting people in jail who shouldn't be there at all, because the laws on the books are not being enforced properly. They could get rid of the federal income tax, period. I'm not saying your state income tax and stuff wouldn't get rid of it. Now, Florida is looking, it looks like Florida is going to get rid of their property tax completely. Folks, I would retire. I would go there in a heartbeat. I'd buy a home there to live out the rest of my days. Just pay cash for it. Just live in a little home. I'll just be done. Be a great place to retire at that point. No property tax? That means you own your home. The money you make can be spent on your living. You can just go do things and go eat and go buy groceries, whatever you want to do. You can. You don't have to worry about taxes going up and you can't afford your home anymore. And then the next thing you know, you're living on the street. You're 90 years old, living on the street. Just saying. And the taxation is just, it becomes very almost criminal after a while. And you realize what they're doing here. But it's a means of control. It has nothing. They could literally eliminate income taxes because they're not, with all the glut of things that they spend money on, they could monetize the debt, monetize everything over the course of so many years and actually monetize what they make on income taxes from us, federally. I'm talking federal income tax. And, of course, we would pay for it through inflation due to the monetization. So in other words, prices on things would continue to go up, but you wouldn't have to pay income tax. So it's an interesting concept, but what they do is they take this money out of your check, and of course then your employer also pays some of this as well on top of what you think you're making. You might think you're making $15 an hour, but your employer's paying $17.50 an hour to have you there on top of insurance and everything else that they have to pay for that they're helping that they're paying 50% of. So you might be seeing $15 an hour on your little paycheck there, but after, of course, then all the deductions start happening from your $15 an hour. That employer is paying probably $20 or $22 an hour to have you there. And you don't see that at all. You don't even know it. You don't know that your employer's even paying that. So you think, well, why is my employer paying? He pays that contractor over there. He's paying them $30 an hour. He's only paying me $15 an hour. Well, it's because it's costing them that much to have you there. And you just don't see it because government bureaucracy, regulations, the taxation, everything else that's happening, you don't see. He doesn't have to pay for that contractor's insurance. He doesn't have to pay for that contractor's bond. He doesn't have to pay for that contractor's income taxes, all the things, workman's comp, everything else that has to be paid by that employer. They're paid on their own. It actually saves you money. Using a contractor like that, because now I had a business. I had 8 employees total. Many of them were part-timers. I had a few full-timers. I had to have a secretary that I had to pay. Now, I would have had the secretary anyway, the administrative assistant. This back then, we called them secretaries. But she was an administrative assistant. Half of her time was spent figuring out payroll taxes. The other half was just spent managing the accounts of my customers. So how much was I paying? I'm paying another $8 or $9 an hour, whatever it was back then. This is back in the 90s. Just to do payroll. To figure out the taxes. If I wouldn't have had to deduct tax money and all that stuff out of their payroll. First of all, my employees would have made more money. And I wouldn't have had to pay her as much per hour. I could have paid her more per hour and she could have worked fewer hours. Because you have to have the administrative resources that you have just to manage the taxation and benefits. The whole HR department at many companies is huge. And a lot of what they do is spent working on benefits, taxation, all the other things that are going on that you never see. You have no idea what they're spending for that to manage your wages. But I digress. Folks, it's been an hour. I know it's just flown by today. I apologize for the late show Tomorrow's show will be on time, as it should be. Whatever time that will be, 7 o'clock or whatever, whatever it's going to be. 6, 7 o'clock, I don't know. What, all depends on the dogs. The dogs pretty much run the household anymore. Whatever, whenever they settle down. They've been pretty quiet here today. Maybe they're, he's probably up there chewing up some sofa or something. It's giving him some time. So it's fine with me. I'll buy another sofa. I don't care. Because it's, you know, keeping him quiet. So that's worth it. It's worth, you know, $2,000 sofa. Just keep him quiet for half an hour. Seems like it. Anyway, so thanks for listening, folks. Thanks for coming back here this week and just be a show every day this week. Thursday's kind of questionable, but we'll see how it goes. But anyway, thanks for listening. God bless. Take care. And we will continue to pray for our nation. See you tomorrow. Bye.